Flashbang 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Every day at this time, we give you shot or no shot, and it's brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Hope you hit on the picks we gave out the other day on the Preakness Stakes. You got the Belmont in 3 weeks. Another money-making opportunity, but they have horse racing each and every day, plus video slots and sports betting through PointsBet. We say good morning to Shea W. Norling.
Good morning, boys. How are we, Cappy?
Good.
A little sore.
Rock and roll. Little, my hands are sore.
Put it on the board.
I'll tell you.
All right. Let's get started.
Good with the handy stuff.
Let's get started with shot or no shot, boys. Don't look now, Hoodie, but things are looking up for your club, the White Sox. Over the last six games, the White Sox have taken 5 of 6, and the starters in that stretch have posted a 2.06 ERA over nearly 40 innings. They're in the midst of a 10-game span where the starters have an ERA under 2.9. And by the way, the bullpen's been even better. They haven't allowed a run in 7 games. Joe Kelly hasn't allowed a run since April 27th. Shot or no shot, the White Sox pitching has the key to a comeback in this American League Central. Silence speaking volumes
that,
here.
That's a shot. How about that? That's a shot. A comeback. Didn't say what kind of comeback, but definitely a comeback. That can they turn this around? They are as of late, and it is somewhat schedule friendly for the White Sox.
What do they have coming up now? They're at Cleveland tonight.
Three at Cleveland. We have a four set with Detroit this weekend.
We have a 4:30 start for the Sox in Cleveland. The odd 5:10 start.
Guess what?
What's that?
I got a fever.
Uh-oh.
And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Uh-oh. Is that going to be the theme? Uh-oh. Look
out. This is a big series. You've got to take care of business there. You cannot go in there and get pounded. Cleveland's trying to find traction. They're under 500, right, Shea?
Mm.
Yeah, they're 20 and 26. Cap, the entire division. I dubbed it the American League Comedy Central last week. I'm not kidding. The Tigers and White Sox are tied for second at 20 and 26.
Yeah, that's a shot. Three against Cleveland, 4 against Detroit. Got to find a way.
You got to find a way.
Yeah.
So like that's this week, you need to go 5-2?
Yeah. It's Cease, it's Kopech, Giolito, Lynn. Now you're down a starter.
The Clevinger to the injured list with a wrist injury.
That's correct.
So they're starting a kid out of the minors tonight.
Yes. All right, so that's a shot. You had to think about it because it's like, okay, are the Sox going to continue to play at this rate because they've won, four out of their last five?
I think 5 of 6.
Yeah.
Are you taking...
Yeah, 5 of 6.
I gave you right now, I'll let you go 4-3 on the trip. You taking it or you want to play them?
What do you mean?
If I said I guarantee you a 4-3 trip right now...
Oh, yeah, I'll take it.
Or would you roll the dice and see how you did?
Yeah, I'd take 4-3, sure. I've won more than I lost, absolutely.
On the road?
I'd like for them to be able to show what they can do on the road as they get ready for Los Angeles on the 29th of May.
Cubs.
So it's a shot.
Cubs mercifully get a day off. The state of baseball in this town, man, it's really disappointing.
But I mean, hey, but the Sox are rallying here. They're coming back, though. You sweep in Kansas City. And again, people think that's just obvious. You should be able to. Not against the White Sox.
Tune in.
Well, I understand, Rick. I'm going to continue to tune in. Yes.
Yes.
Even at 19 and 29, I'll continue to tune in. Thank you, Rick.
Tune in.
All right, Shea.
All right, both of the NBA's conference final series are sitting at 3-0 with sweeps looking pretty likely on both sides. It would be the first time in the history of the NBA that both conference finals were sweeps. The Celtics got their asses kicked last night by 26 points in a pretty lifeless effort, and the Lakers, they just don't look good enough. Shot or no shot, these NBA playoffs have been a letdown.
No shot. NBA playoffs have been amazing. Let down only because your dead ass club's getting pounded.
All right. Leave him alone. He's going through a very tough time with his Celtics.
Why don't you be a fan of a team in the city you actually grew up in? But whatever. Yeah. The NBA playoffs have been spectacular. Spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And hopefully the flopper gets knocked out tonight. And I'm a LeBron fan.
Yes.
What his flopping the other day, that should have been ejectable.
I don't think you should be taking side swipes at Shea like that. That's no good.
He doesn't like the truth. He can't handle
it. I don't think that's right.
I mean, isn't it a bit, the NHL lost all of their original six teams early. The Bruins went down, and now they're looking at a lot of teams with limited fan bases. The Southern teams. It's not good for hockey. And you look at the NBA.
Why is it not good for hockey?
How is it good for them?
Went four overtimes last night.
Cap, how many people are watching? It doesn't matter how good the games are if nobody's tuning in.
I don't care who's watching. I am.
But nobody cares if you're watching.
Entertaining.
You watching by yourself does not make it good for the sport. It doesn't matter how good the games are if nobody's interested because it's Dallas and Vegas and Florida and Carolina and there's no fan bases there.
It's phenomenally entertaining.
Let me just tell you this. You watch a sport or you watch a game based on what you enjoy. You don't care about what the masses enjoy.
Correct.
I mean, as an individual sports fan, you can't speak for everybody. Listen, I watch a ton of NBA. I don't come in here and talk about the NBA every day. But again, it's maybe not for everybody, but it's definitely for me because it entertains me. I never worry. I can look and study the numbers and the ratings for some of these games that we watch, Cap, but it doesn't mean, well, you know, fewer people are watching the NHL than ever before. Okay, well, does that mean I'm going to stop watching?
Right.
No, absolutely not. So I don't care about the masses. I care about me as a sports fan. And so for me, you know, for the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, I'm tuning in every now and then to take a look and see what's going on. And again, sometimes it's not even about the individual teams or the stars. It's about the sport and the lack of marketing. The NHL has a major problem with that. Baseball has a major problem with that.
Agreed.
So, I mean, just because everybody's not watching doesn't mean that I won't watch. That's crazy.
Yeah. How many people were watching the PGA over the weekend playing the rain? I had it on. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's about...
I was building a futon while I did it.
It's just about you as an individual. Now, the NBA playoffs have not been a disappointment for me. I just think that this says a lot about the teams that are going to be losing, the Lakers and the Celtics. The league, I'm sure, wanted the Lakers-Celtics because that's two legendary teams. They would have loved to have that as their final. Not happening now.
Not happening.
So, now we're getting to this Heat culture versus a Denver team that even Denver Nuggets fans can't watch because it's blacked out in their area. They have a TV issue. Yep.
Really?
Yep. Big issue. So everyone's going to enjoy Jokic one way or the other. It's fun.
What a player he is. Holy smokes.
Best player on earth, right? Shot or no shot?
That's a no shot.
I'll say shot.
Best player on earth? Absolutely not.
Who's better?
There's not a player better than Jokic.
Oh, sure it is.
Who?
Plenty.
Who?
He's just sitting down, though.
There's nobody better than Jokic.
No, I disagree.
All right, thank
Who
you.
Who is it?
Thank you. Me. All right, I know he's talking about me. All right, thanks.
Not you.
Oh, you said I was sitting down.
No, and you're not playing anymore.
Right, I don't play.
You don't used to play, but you don't play anymore.
Give me a name. Who's better?
Than Jokic?
Yes.
Giannis?
No shot.
Okay.
I can't make a jump shot to save his life.
That's my choice.
So if you had the number one pick of any player in the world, you're taking Giannis number one?
Yep. Because I know I can depend on him in the fourth quarter. He won't run out of gas.
Yeah, looked good against the Heat.
Yeah, no, I mean, hey, that's one player out of five. that's one player out of five. And by the way, can't look good when you sit on the bench twice in the series when you're injured. So there's that.
He's a great player. I would not take him over Jokic, but he's a great player. Top mm-hmm. three.
Yeah, that would be my choice. Giannis can't do anything about the Heat in the series if he's injured twice in the series.
And LeBron flopping the other day doesn't even get touched. Slides into the seventh row and gets ice all over him.
And the answer goes to LeBron James.
Exactly.
I thought
that was embarrassing. That should have been a flagrant just for being a jackass.
I would agree. Why is my computer? I'm having a hard time here this morning because my ESPN Shay is on Australia. It's ESPN Australia. I don't know. Why.
That's not bad. A lot of rugby, I bet.
It says NRL, AFL, rugby right across the top here. And I have to search for the NBA and NFL.
Right, but they BitPoint Defender blocked me from going to legitimate sites.
I don't know what happened.
I'm not kidding. I tried to read a Sun Times column this morning, and it got blocked. The Sun Times!
Hey, what's netball? Do you know?
Netball?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
That's one of the options here on ESPN
netball
Australia.
Netball sounds like basketball.
I don't know.
No, Australia also has Hungry Jacks. That's a Burger King knockoff in Australia.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, it's called Hungry Jacks.
I like that. Super shot round. I don't know. I just my computer is stuck on ESPN Australia. Don't know why.
It's like it looks like it's basketball but without a backboard.
That is hilarious.
Okay. I got to reset my computer. All right, can you squeeze in one more before we go around the NFL?
Yeah, there's an interesting quirk. Cap talked about nobody watching the PGA. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to break it down. There's just an interesting quirk to it. They allow 20 club pros to participate alongside the pro competitors. And this year, Michael Block, who is a head pro at a public golf course in California, sank a swish hole-in-one at the PGA Championship. Block currently charges $150 an hour, again, at a public golf course, for his services, but shot or no shot, after his performance at the PGA, he should at least double his rate.
That's a shot. Actually, more. 500.
Well, it depends. You got to have the audience to pay it.
Well, hang on a second. He does well. California golf pro, right?
Yeah.
I need help with my swing. How much? 500. That sounds outrageous. Actually, it's not. Take a look at this, pal. How about this? How about I got a hole-in-one without a skip? Didn't even bounce. Bam! Right in the hole. That's what you're paying for.
He was like Happy Gilmore.
500. There you go.
He turned to his playing partner, Rory McIlroy. Did that go in? Yes, it did.
The only sport where you could just pretty much be a walk-on and get into a major.
But you know, the U.S. Open is the most democratic of all tournaments.
It is?
I could go play. I can go in. If I qualify, I can go to any of the open qualifiers and, hey, I'm here. Let's go. But you have to score a particular score, and you can qualify for the U.S. freaking Open.
There was a story last year. A guy finished last place in his fantasy football league, and his punishment was to play in a U.S. Open qualifier. He shot like a plus 26.
Yeah, I don't like that. Because how come you can't do that in other sports? Hey, Bulls, I'm a walk-on. Looks like you need some three-point shooting. Give me the ball. Excuse me, sir? Get the F out! What do you mean, man? You need some help, right? I'm a walk-on. I'm going to help you all. I'm going to be coming off the bench. Billy, give me a ball. Get him out of here! Security! You know, some guy goes to Johnny's Ice House. It's like, hey, how are you? Where are you from? Ottawa. Oh, you're from Ottawa? Illinois. Come on. Give me a couple of pucks. I'm going to be on one of your lines this year, Blackhawks. No shot. Get out. Think about that in other sports. Golf guy just comes in and just like, yeah, I'm going to qualify for one of the majors. Are you kidding me?
But you have to have a certain score.
Cap. Somebody off the street shouldn't be able to go in to a major. Now, I'm not saying he's going to get a lot of TV time. This guy got TV time, and rightfully so, because he had a hole-in-one. But the idea in golf where you can just come off the street like, yeah, here we go. Let's go. Give me a ball. Give me a bucket of balls. I'm ready. What? That wouldn't help in any other sport. Like college, yes, it's the walk-on, right?
Well.
Because you try out. But just the idea that a golf guy is just like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to be with Rory and all these. You don't get a locker. Get out.
If there's any guy out there, maybe a little portly, you can maybe throw strikes. The Cubs need help in the bullpen.
Can't do that. Just show up in Wrigley.
Excuse me. Yeah, is Jed here? Yeah, he's right there. Yeah, I'm here. Who are you? I'm here to pitch in your bullpen.
So, no. We have a system here. No, I'm good. Here we go. He goes walking through the tunnel.
Ross, I'm in the eighth.
He goes up and down the stairs, hops over the fence. All right, here we go. Two balls, two strike. Bam! Strike. I mean, come on. That's exactly what we're talking about here. golf guy out of nowhere. Come on. I want the pros. I don't want walk-ons on my golf. Wow. Crazy. But it's the rule. Around the NFL, coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know. You know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app is still to come. We'll hear from Courtney Cronin with the latest on the Bears in the NFL. Around the NFL with Shay Norling. Shay?
Yeah, good day to do it. 20 teams, including the Bears, start OTAs today. OTA. Football is back, Hoodie.
Oh, yes. This is very enjoyable because, again, we'll get some storylines out of it. Does it mean something for the season, Cap? Not necessarily, but just OTAs, getting them out there, getting them used to the Eberflus system. Interesting.
It's just nice that we don't have any drama around our club. I'm not reporting. I didn't get my money. Like Saquon Barkley may not go to the Giants. Like, I get so tired of all that. Just do your job.
It's all business up there at Alice. It's nice.
Let's go. Let's play.
All right, what's the latest?
We have some audio here from Ben Roethlisberger. He admitted there was a struggle early on between him and Kenny Pickett. Listen to this.
Completely honest. Like, and I'll be super transparent here, and I'm going to get blasted. I probably shouldn't say this, but I mean, who cares at this point? I wouldn't say that I wanted Kenny to necessarily fail, but, like, you know, when someone comes to replace you, and you're like, you know, I still feel like I had it. Like, I hope he doesn't come like ball out, because then it's like Ben who, right?
Right.
But honestly, I think as you started playing, and like I found myself rooting more and more for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we sat down here and watched games, and we were high fiving, going nuts when you were like leading the team and doing things, you know, and running and doing some of the trying to fight people, all that stuff. Like,
that was my favorite, by the way.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, you better swing on that fool.
Yeah. I feel bad, and I know I came on this show and said that. I forget how I said it, but I like apologized to you for not knowing how good he was going to be.
Yeah,
like I just didn't know. I had no idea. I didn't know that you were the runner that you were. I just didn't know what was going to happen. I wasn't aware, and I was pleasantly surprised. I'm glad that I was wrong in the sense of where I had you. I thought you'd be a quarterback that was good, that was going to come in. I think you're the future of this team. I really do, and I think they got. You know, the fans should be lucky. They are lucky. They got you. But that's what I'm going to say. I'll say I was early on. I didn't want him to succeed because I didn't want him. You know, they followed me up. I didn't want it to happen. I think that's probably the selfishness of me, and I feel bad for it. But as it went on, as the season went on, he got into like the third game playing. I was rooting for him.
Yeah,
I was excited for you, and I wanted you to succeed. I wanted you to win games. I wanted you to get to the playoffs. And so. I feel bad that I felt that early on, but I'm glad that I transitioned into love and rooting for you.
Appreciate that.
I have your jersey I wear every Sunday.
All right. Well, okay. So
rambling Roethlisberger there.
You know what? He shouldn't feel that way. I can't tell him how to feel, but he shouldn't feel that way. If Kenny Pickett did ball out, Cap, and there were some glimpses here and there, no one's going to forget Ben Roethlisberger and what he did for the Steelers. It's a weird thing. Like, you think you still had it, but you did not. Roethlisberger was brutal toward the end. Had big guy, no arm at the end.
Well, it just sounds like such a petty person.
Oh.
You know? He just does. He sounds incredibly petty. He did not have a great reputation for a large portion of his career. Got in trouble off the field, didn't Correct. Treat people the right way. And then said, I got married and I learned the error of my ways. I don't know if he's a good dude or not. Why even make that admission?
He said he shouldn't say it, but he just felt like...
Well, what's the difference? I don't care.
Yeah, it's his podcast, right? He's telling Pickett to his face, like, I didn't want you to succeed. No one's going to forget about Ben Roethlisberger. From college to the pros...
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, like, you're solidified.
Correct.
Boy, if you ball out, people are going to say, Ben who? No, even if he meant that tongue-in-cheek, if that's how he really felt, not telling him how he should feel, but I know that I think a lot of people appreciate what Roethlisberger brought to the game.
Yes.
That's all
agreed.
I'm saying.
Agreed.
I think it's weird.
Like an idiot.
I think it's interesting because we get on Rodgers for his treatment of Jordan Love a lot of the time in Green Bay. We get on, you know, Favre and kind of his treatment of Rodgers. There's the Brady Garoppolo deal. We hear all about this all the time, and we really get on these quarterbacks. How many quarterbacks feel this way? Like, Ben didn't say this when he was playing. Maybe this is a lot more common than we think.
Possibly. When you are in that position, why are you a quarterback of a team? Because you feel like you can lead or you have a massive ego. Cap is the quarterback of this show. So there's a reason why that he's the leader. It's because he's been there and done that, comes with a chip on his shoulder, ready to work every day. But he doesn't feel like, well, if I'm out of here, you know, I want the other guy to not
fail.
Succeed. That's not how you would feel. You'd move on. Next. Correct or no?
If I'm the quarterback, you're the star running back.
Oh, no, no, no.
Guy carrying the mail.
Left guard. That's all I am. just a guy that no one really knows. Just a left guard. Just does the job and goes home. That's who
Nate
I am.
Newton.
That's pretty much. Just a guard. Here's Shea Norland.
Well, the pile-on is beginning on the laminated play sheet, pencil in his ear, coach. Mac Jones says he's, quote, energized by Bill O'Brien replacing Matt Patricia as the offensive coordinator, per Mike Giardi, Patriots beat reporter.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Absolutely.
They've said it's a totally different attitude in the building, totally different attitude as they approach OTAs. Seems like a different kid, more talented, more focused, just by getting Matt Patricia out of there.
Here's what I want for Mac, okay? Cut back a little bit on, you know, being demonstrative on the sidelines and getting pissed off. I guess he might have been pissed off because Patricia was there, and he probably felt like the offense wasn't going anywhere. Bill O will get them in the right spot. Bill O was an assistant and OC with Saban at Alabama, right?
He was.
Yeah, the old, you got fired from your NFL head coaching spot. Come do this one-year internship. We'll get you back out there.
Yeah, the home for wayward coaches. I totally understand it. So Bill O will get them right.
Bill O is, he got the holy water of Saban.
Yeah.
He had the holy water from Belichick. He actually had, go back and look at his record. In Houston, he had some pretty successful teams.
With Matt Schaub.
Yeah. So he's a good football coach.
Yeah.
100%.
He'll get them right. No surprise. I mean, the coach before him, Coach Pencil, out of his league, trying to coach offense. Yeah. Out of his league.
Yeah.
Just a Belichick disciple, Belichick guy that just has not worked
that
out.
That was the arrogance of Belichick. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, but Belichick will get it done.
Shay.
All right, one other story here. The Thursday night flex voting is expected to happen this weekend, and reportedly it's expected to be approved. Thursday night flex could be coming to the NFL.
Yeah, so again, as we talked about, Shay, there are no sacred cows here. Meaning that Amazon is not going to get the least or the worst games. Like, they can flex out and be able to get better games, too. Now, here's the thing I wonder about out of all of this. Here's a big shot or no shot for you, Shay. Is the 325 game becoming irrelevant? You get one decent game, which is America's Fox Game of the Week, maybe. Okay?
America's Game of the Week.
But then the CBS game so bad. Or the other Fox game so bad, the Chris Myers game.
Right.
It's so bad, the Gus Johnson game, toward the bottom.
Yeah.
I just wonder, like,
Commanders, Raiders.
Yeah. Like, I'm starting to wonder. Amazon's a thing. Sunday Night Football definitely is the top of the top. CBS has their shot at it.
We're the 325 game to open the season.
That's a good one.
The Pack.
Yeah, people. But I'm wondering, like, you see this on the package, right? You get 325, you get two or three games left because all the games are spread out. And you're just like, oh, boy, this is so bad. You just can't wait for Sunday Night Football. Most 325 slots.
We saw it a lot, especially November, December last year. A lot of, like, Cardinals, Raiders, two really bad teams in the 325 slot on Fox or on CBS. That 325 slot is kind of, like, I think there were some Broncos games in there. It's not what it once was. They do their best with America's Game of the Week, the Dallas Cowboys roadshow. But, yeah, I think you're right. A lot of those have gone by the wayside.
because you can keep flexing in these and these networks, because, as you mentioned, Cap, the money, you could be able to have the ability to flex. It makes me wonder, is it 325 the weakest thing? We look forward to football at noon. Here we go, a slate of games, right? Outstanding. They got the quad box. They got five or six boxes up there on the screen. Here we go, football starting. They get to 325 and you get, hello, hello, Arizona Cardinals, hello. Oh, God.
Right, Arizona, the Commanders.
I'm going to the yard. So long, everybody. I'm
out of here. You got a futon you need built? I'll throw it on the iPad.
So that's what's come down to, Shay. Sunday night football. The 12 o'clock kicks, Sunday night football, Monday night football. The 325 kicks are like fourth for me. That's how I would have it. If the Bears aren't playing, because usually during that time, I was watching my guy. Now I'll be watching on YouTube. Courtney, they'll be live Bears coverage.
Appreciate it.
On the recap.
By the way, one quick thing. Could we end up getting flexed out of the Panthers game if we're both bad?
Yes.
They're up.
325.
Hopefully we're both good.
Courtney Cronin with more on the Bears next on Cap'n J. Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n J. Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox completed their first series sweep of the Royals. 5-2 with the win yesterday. As Pedro Grifol gave his thoughts as the Chicago White Sox are getting ready to take on Cleveland. 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock start right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Here's Pedro.
I'm proud of these guys. You know, these position players are some of these guys are grinding. You know, they're playing every day. Some of these guys are not 100%. They're playing hard. They're running hard. They're giving us everything they got. So we're in a long stretch here. That's why we got to rest guys, you know, every once in a while. But overall, I'm proud of the effort that these guys are giving us on a day-to-day basis, knowing that they're not 100%, you know. So just thought I'd mention that because these guys are putting in some good work.
Tune in.
The White Sox also sent Mike Clevinger to the injured list with right wrist inflammation. Cubs dropped 2 of 3 against the Phillies over the weekend to drop to 20-26 in the season. They have a series against the Mets starting tomorrow night. Lakers and Celtics both on the brink. Celtics trail 3-0, just like the Lakers do in their matchup against the Nuggets. Game 4 tonight between the Nuggets and the L.A. Lakers. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports. ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap'n J. Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap'n J. Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We'll hear from Jesse Rogers on baseball coming up at 9:18. Right now, let's hear from Courtney as she's on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you doing?
We're good, Double C. Good to have you back.
Yeah, happy to be here, getting ready for OTAs this week.
Yeah, so what's your expectations? I mean, I know that the Bears give as much information as they can about the ball club, but what are your expectations? What are you looking forward to seeing?
It'll be nice to see, you know, the whole squad together, because the last time we laid eyes on anybody at Halas Hall was rookie minicamp, and you had, you know, a quarterback from a Division II school who, you know, that's an insurmountable task to try to make football look pretty in those moments when you're throwing to guys for the first time. And, you know, just a lot of rookie football, exactly what you would have expected. But now you get to see Justin Fields and DJ Moore, and hopefully you'll see on a rehab field Darnell Mooney running. That was the understanding I had after talking with wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert, that he will be present at the building. Now, will we see him? Will we not? I mean, most times when guys are rehabbing from an injury, you'll get a chance to at least look and see what they, if they have anything like around their ankle or any, you know, appendage sort of stuff. So I'm excited to see the whole squad together and to see what the connection looks like between Fields and the receivers he's had time with already this offseason, and just to see how that looks, what that looks like, despite the fact they're going to be throwing routes on air tomorrow.
So a year ago when we had you on, it was, look, it's going to be a long season, and it's built to be a long season. People pushed back at that narrative, and they went 3-14. What is realistic in your mind? Very young team, didn't do anything to get edge pressure addressed, and they may sign Jadeveon Clowney or somebody, Leonard Floyd, someone out there, but I just look at this team and feel like people that are thinking it's a double-digit win team are a year early. Where are you?
I'm glad you asked that, because ESPN Analytics put out their FPI, which is their football power index, this morning for all teams for the 2023 season, and that looks at chance to make the playoffs, chance, you know, the win-loss record, winning the division, all stuff like that. And you and I, Cap, I think have been on the same wavelength that 7-8 wins should be where this team is headed for this year, and that would be considered a pretty successful season. And that aligns with the analytics. Our FPI has them with 7.8 wins this season, so 9.2 losses. That's not a bad spot for this team to be in if they are a 7-10 ball club in year two of a massive rebuild. So I think I'm frankly in kind of lockstep with what Ryan Poles has been telling us and selling us on how they want to build this thing to be sustainable. You don't expect there to be, a massive jump from 3 to almost 8 wins. That is a massive jump, but to go from 3 wins to a playoff team, I still think is probably a little far-fetched. But again, we'll see how the division transitions and changes this year, because it does feel wide open. I know that there's a ton of hype around the Detroit Lions, and rightfully so. You had really good play from their offense last year, and specifically with quarterback Jared Goff. But man, I still think the Bears are in a spot right now that we expected them to be, where you are seeing not just incremental growth, but, tangible growth within this team. Granted, it's still May, so a lot of that's not going to actually mean anything for a couple months, but they're taking steps in the right direction, and I feel like my opinion of them has not changed. Despite any of the free agent signings, any of the draft additions, I still think this is a 7 or 8 win ball club.
There's two positions I'm really circling right now, Courtney, for me, and one of them is the running back room. Wondering, is there someone expendable on the team? Like, is Herbert fighting for his job over Johnson? The other one is just the defensive line. I'm just very curious on how Pickens and Dexter can work their way in. Again, we're still waiting for someone on the defensive line to be signed by the Bears off the scrap heap. We'll see. But those are the two I'm interested in. What interests you more, the running back room or the kids on the defensive line?
I will say the running back room, and there's a number of reasons for that, because Roschon Johnson very well could play his way into the number one, being this team's lead back by, week 4 or 5. If you heard Richard Hightower, their special teams coordinator, talk about Roschon Johnson, who you expect, he's a four-phase special teamer at Texas. Like, that's a role that he relishes in, and that's something that the Bears are going to be looking for him to replicate in early on in his career. But if he's good enough, and if he's better than what they have already in the room, whether it's Deontay Foreman or Khalil Herbert, who should be in line now that David Montgomery is not here to be that lead back, I wouldn't be surprised if the rookie ends up surpassing both of them and earning that lead back role, where that would actually affect his time on special teams. But I've gotten a couple questions about, the depth pieces in that room, whether Treston Ebner could potentially be, the odd man out. And I know that the Bears are pleased with his special team contributions from last year. It's part of the reason, it's where he found kind of his sticking point, not in the run game, but more on in the return game. And that's probably how it'll end up playing out for others. But I just think that they see something in Roschon Johnson where they're already talking about him as a franchise pillar, and all these other superlatives that are being thrown out about a guy who's not even, had a full team practice just yet when they're in pads. So we'll see. But I'm really curious to see if he's able to and how quickly he'd be able to surpass Khalil Herbert to earn that number one running back spot.
Courtney, before we let you go, Justin Fields, Matt Eberflus said he's been working very hard most on getting the ball out quickly. Was that his biggest issue, or was it tucking the ball too fast and taking off?
Time in the pocket and time before the throw, absolutely. And that's been an issue for him since he was in college. And you can mask some of those things when you have a great offensive line like he did at Ohio State. But when you get behind the offensive line that the Bears had last year, those are the things that get exposed pretty quickly. So we know that, you know, he was, you know, top in the league in time before the throw and the time in the pocket. Those are always areas that the Bears want to see him improve upon. And of course, you hear probably ad nauseum how much this offense is based on rhythm and timing, the footwork and all of those things to be able to sync up with your receivers and throw to a spot. That should hopefully, when the trust is there, when the chemistry is there between Fields and his pass catchers, that should hopefully help cut down on the time to throw for him. So he's not exposing himself to unnecessary pressure when he could have gotten rid of the ball faster.
As always, Courtney, we appreciate it. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you both. Talk to you soon.
Have a great week.
And it's Courtney Cronin with us on the CarX Tire
and Auto Hotline.
Coming up next, we will hear from Shay Norling because his team sucks. That's coming up on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hello, no one is available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, this is a wellness check on you. You okay? Holy Miami Heat are just teaching you guys the meaning of the word respect. Talk about an ass-whipping. Jeez. All right, want to make sure you're okay there, kid. Have a great night. Love you. Take that.
I had to check on our guy last night. I was driving back from Wisconsin. I was worried about him.
These are
right to voicemail.
Caps convention. There's his Caps confessions right there. Yeah, the Heat over the Celtics, 128-102.
I called Snorling, and it went right to voicemail. Who turns their phone off in this day and age?
I was on Do Not Disturb. I didn't want to hear from you.
Or anybody.
He's having a rough night.
Yeah, his team's on, and he's having a rough night. He doesn't want to yell at anybody. I see. You can understand that. It's a tough night. And by the way, you're just rubbing in the salt. That's all.
Right.
No, I was trying. I was worried about it.
No, get the hell out of here. Fair or foul, Hoodie. He ends his wellness check call with take that.
Well, that's a thing Hoodie and I started. Every phone call he and I have, we were talking about last week about the death of his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, what, a 40-minute call?
Yeah.
We were on the phone a long time talking about serious issues. How do we end the call? Love you. Take that.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
But yours had a little chuckle at the end.
Yeah.
Just checking on you, kid.
There's some
There's
salt
no
there.
There's no chuckle there.
There's a chuckle.
There's
there.
Chuckle.
There's Play a
chuckle.
The beginning.
No, at the end. There's a chuckle at the end. It's a little lighter than it should be. It should be, Shay, just checking on you, pal.
Holy bleep! They're teaching you the meaning of the word respect.
Yeah.
What an ass whipping.
I didn't say you. I said they're teaching them the meaning of the word respect. Just checking on you, kid. Take that! So long, everybody! Click!
That's what happened yesterday.
That wasn't
All
nice
right,
what you did.
I want to make sure you're okay there, kid. Have a great night. Love you. Take that.
You hear the little chuckle at the end?
He's smiling.
Yes.
You can hear the smile in what he's saying the whole time.
You're kicking
the Miami Heat, boy, they're teaching you the word respect. He's grinning ear to ear. He's thrilled about it.
Cap, there was a little glee that you had in that, right? Because of Shay's team? A little glee?
I can't tell a lie to the audience. That was freaking thrilled.
Here I'm in pain and I look down at my phone. I turn this game off halftime. These losers, they don't deserve my eyeballs while Succession's on. I look down at my phone and I get a voicemail from David Kaplan. Yeah, take that. This team, they're teaching you respect, pal.
That's
take that.
Yeah, that's really kicking a man while he's down. That's what you were doing.
Well, if he had answered the phone and said, I'm in a really bad way, I would have driven to his house.
I'm sure. Yeah,
you don't
I'm
like
sure.
that either. Listen, that would have made things worse.
Another lie.
No, he's not lying. I bet he would have done that.
No.
9:30 at night. Oh, I'll drive over, just check on him. That's what I need. Cap, while I'm trying to go to bed, knocking on the door. Hey, snore. You doing okay?
Not at 9:30 at night. The man's going to bed. Good night, everybody. Now, by the way, Jason Tatum, just a thought. There are four quarters in basketball. You might want to score in the fourth every now and then.
Oh, my God. That
you're going to get shut out three times and not score in the fourth quarter?
Oh, yeah. He did score in game two. I saw that going around. Bleacher Report posted something about him not scoring in the fourth, and he scored in game two. That was not true.
Let me just.
How many points?
I think he had five on a shot.
Five.
So it wasn't great. But, no, look. I've come to the realization I was tricked by Jason Tatum. I had fully believed with the MVP caliber season, all of this, he is that guy, and I was tricked. He has shown me in this series he ain't that guy.
Well,
him and Jaylen Brown, wrap them up.
We'll give you DeRozan for Tatum.
I'm not telling you I'm out. I'm not trading him. But right now, he ain't that guy. And the two of them right now, today, Jaylen and Jason, you can wrap them up. Couple losers right there.
How about DeRozan
played
for
like
Jaylen
losers
Brown
in this series? No, I don't. I want a better player if I'm trading Jaylen Brown.
DeRozan's a hell of a player, and your window to win's now.
Jaylen Brown on game three. What happened?
I don't even know where to start. It's obvious letdown. I feel like we let our fan base organization down. We let ourselves down. And it was collective. We can point fingers. But in reality, it was just embarrassing.
They stopped playing. I know the narrative out there this morning will be that they did not play hard for their coach. They didn't play for each other more so than anything else. We've known for a while now that the Celtics coach is over his head. I think that they'd be more competitive with Udoka. I'm not sure if they'd win the series if Udoka was still coaching the Celtics, quite frankly. I mean, because they let themselves down. Playing that way at home or on the road,
well,
it's pretty bad.
And here you go, Jaylen Brown. I don't even know where to start. I know where to start. You stunk, pal. Enough. Like, what was he, 6 of 18, 6 of 23 in game two? He had 16 points on 23 shots.
He was better than Jason Tatum.
In game two, he was the worst player on the floor. Six made shots, 23 attempts, 16. No, he's not been better. He's been horrible.
Damn.
Jaylen Brown has been awful. And then he goes out. It's embarrassing. You're embarrassing yourself. I'm tired of watching it. Like, this team, and that's where I say right now, and maybe I'll be wrong about this in the future, but I don't care. Because I woke up this morning, and I thought of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, couple of losers. They've played like losers in this series. You want to win titles? You got to be killers. And right now, the only killer on the floor is Jimmy Butler.
It certainly is. Jimmy Butler has been outstanding, man. And again, he didn't have to be out great yesterday, Cap. Because it was Vincent, it was Strews, it was Robinson, it was Martin shooting the ball well from three.
Yes.
Hurting our poor friend here, Shea Norling. His poor Celtics. They're done.
Done.
Milwaukee stays healthy. They play better. Celtics won't even be in this mix. That's the reason why Celtics are here is because Milwaukee underachieved.
They need a coaching change. That guy's way in over his head.
He just is.
Missoula?
Yeah, he just
oh,
is.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you expect? He's an assistant coach. That seat, 18 inches away from the assistant, pretty hot.
Right.
Head coaching seat.
One guy's sleeping with the wrong person. Out. I promote the assistant. Well, he's got a really good roster.
Cap and Jay Hood back in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.